I want you to go to 1 Samuel, please. I want to read in verse 7. The Philistines now have taken the Ark of the Covenant. And you'll find that leading up to this, they put the Ark of the Covenant in the midst of all their own gods. They found out something. Our God doesn't play well with other gods. No, He doesn't play well with others. He beside Him, there's none other. When you try to put Him up against somebody else, He just goes ahead and tells you, hey, this ain't nothing. This is just stone and rubble in my eyes. So they put Him right beside the god Dagon. And in the morning when they got up, Dagon was over, fell over, toppled forward on his face. So they said, well, anything could have happened. You know, a breeze could have came through. I'm just paraphrasing here, but let's do that again. So God showed him again the next day on the morrow. It says they got up, his hands were gone, and his head was gone. God always knows how to get ahead, doesn't He? Hey, amen. So, they said, let's get rid of this thing. There's obviously something in this. And so we realize from our text, and I'll go ahead and read it, and then we'll get into the message. Now, therefore, make a new cart, and take two milch kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth-Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took two milch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And go down to verse 12. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them under the border of Beth-Shemesh. And they of Beth-Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beth-Shemite, and stood there where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. So we kind of get the picture here. They wanted to send the ark back, but there was a specific way. Calvin Ray mentioned that even today in 2 Samuel chapter 6. The cart again was put upon a new cart, and it wasn't to be transported in this way. But this is all they knew, so basically, they said, here's what we'll do. It will tie these milk cows, onto this cart, carrying the Ark of the Covenant with all the amenities. And if it goes straight, if it goes back to its home, then we'll know it's God. If not, we know that God isn't real. That's just basically the basis of the story. Now, I want you to notice some things. God desires us to have His presence, but someone has to be willing to carry the glory. Someone has to be willing to carry the glory. Now, I'm amazed at how God did allow this to happen just to show how powerful He was. Because we know that the Ark of the Covenant was not to be carried only by certain men of God, the high priest, the priestly workers, the Levites were to carry this Ark and to have the burden. But God allowed this to happen. I think for no coincidence, there's something we can see in these two cows that I think can show us a great story. Now, before you go on any further, some of you may have heard the sermon from our dear pastor friend Jim McComas on Cowology 101. I have not listened to that sermon on purpose. So if I say anything like him, then he got it from me. I'll just say that. But I want you to notice something about these two cows. First of all, these cows were unqualified. I don't read anywhere where these were Levite cows. These were just two milk cows. And if he was going to allow an animal, why not get an animal that could haul some things? I mean, these are milk cows. They ain't used to hauling anything. There's not even a yoke been upon them. How in the world would they be able to tie this cart onto them and they haul this cart away? Why not use an ox or a donkey or something that is used to hauling stuff? But no, God allowed these two milk kine to carry the load. They weren't even qualified, but God allowed them to carry the load. Do you realize tonight that every one of us are unqualified? The people that are qualified, it seems like they're always off talking about how qualified they are. And they're always talking about how unqualified we are. But listen, you don't have to be qualified to carry the glory. You just got to be willing to carry the glory. You say, right, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a singer, it's not my responsibility. Oh yes, it is your responsibility. If you want to be blessed by God, and yes, I know it is a great burden sometimes to have to carry the anointing of God, but oh, what a blessing it is to have services like we had this morning. Why? Because a bunch of unqualified people carried God with them to Rubyville this morning. Our pastor got up and he preached the Word of God, and we said, Lord, we're not worthy, but we're willing to carry the glory. These cows were unqualified, and second of all, they were unexperienced. They never had a yoke on them before. They never pulled anything before. Have you noticed God rarely asks us to do things that we're good at? If God asks us to do things that we were good at, why would we need God? But He asks us to do things that are out of the ordinary, that we don't have experience in. To say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. He says, exactly right. That's why you need me. And so many people say, well, if I just had the experience, then I would go out there and teach Sunday school. Well, if I had this or that, then I would step out there and do that. I'm sure, I know John and Carrie were going to be here tonight, but it just fits in perfectly. I'm sure John said, Lord, I'm not really experienced. I've never pastored before, but that doesn't negate you from pastoring Plum Fork Community Church. Why? Because God said, I don't care if you're experienced or not. You got to be willing to carry the glory, John. There's a story of an Atlantic passenger that was laying in his bunk during a storm. He was laying there, and all of a sudden a storm arose, and a man began to cry, man overboard, man overboard. And this passenger couldn't swim. He couldn't do nothing. He felt helpless, but all he could do is he looked down and he saw a little lantern in his room there. So he put the lantern and put it in the porthole. He said, that's all I know to do. That's all I can do is sit here, put the light in the window and pray. And next morning they got up after the storm and they found out the man was rescued. But they said, here's how he was rescued. He was swimming down there in the dark waters. No one could see him. But then someone put a light in the porthole and they saw the hand of the man that was drowning. And the sailors reached down and grabbed that man and pulled him up out of the water to safety. You say, Brian, what did this man do? This man did everything to save this man's life. He wasn't experienced to swim. He wasn't an experienced sailor. But he did what he could do and what was available. Thank God a soul was saved. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. As I mentioned Wednesday night at Jubilee, the reason why our churches aren't prospering and doing what they should do is we have a bunch of churches run by gifted people instead of called people. Our old pastor, Brother Delbert Evans, had a fourth grade education, but he was able to lead people to Jesus. Through his own methods and through his own ways. He didn't have the experience to pastor, but he knew how to preach. He knew how to pastor. And I'm sure you all have people in your mind. Brother Andrew Workman didn't have an education hardly at all, but he could stand up and bat his eyes and start singing and start praising God. He didn't have the experience to most of the upper echelon. He wasn't qualified. But you know what? Brother Andrew Workman, Brother Calvin Evans, Brother Delbert Evans, these great men of God were willing to carry the glory. They were unqualified, they were unexperienced, and also they were unselfish. Heather was telling me about this today. Anyone who's ever raised cows knows that the worst thing for you to do is to take their babies away from them. Heather was telling me the story that a few months ago they were moving the cows from across the road to another pasture field. And the cows that were the mama cows were already on the other side thinking that the babies were following. They got them locked up, and then the cows started looking around, and the baby weren't there. And so they started mooing. And you'll find that these cows even, the Bible says they were lowing as they went. They weren't specifically lowing because of the burden they were carrying. They were lowing because their babies were gone. And so Heather said they actually had to get the mama cow and go back over to the other side so that the babies would follow. But see, they said, take their babies from them. Lock them up where they can't see them. And if they still go, it's of God. Take away the thing that they love the most. Take away where they feel most comfortable. And if they still go and not turn back, it's of God. Sometimes God will tell us to go places. Leave the things we love. Leave the places where we feel most comfortable. And you know what? We'll say, I know it's going to be hard to do that or to go there. But folks, tonight, I'm telling you, and you may even go lowing as you go down the road. You may be saying, oh, that's the place that I love. That's the place that I felt so comfortable. But listen, God's not interested if you're comfortable or not. God's interested for you taking the glory to where it needs to go. And you know where the glory was going? Back to the house of God, where it rightfully belonged. It don't belong in some cattle stall somewhere. It don't belong, the Spirit don't belong hidden amongst many other gods. No, the Spirit, the glory belonged in the house of God. And He leaves that responsibility up to us. Yes, sometimes you'll have to leave the places you love. Sometimes it won't be comfortable. But let's be unselfish and be willing to go where God sends us. I've told you this before. When I came here, I felt the call to come here. And if I know of anything, I know that I'm supposed to be here. And it's not that I didn't want to come here, but I really didn't want to leave. And finally, God spoke to my heart, and I know I've said this a lot, but I was at camp meeting in Willowsburg, and every night somebody would preach something. Somebody would sing something, and I was really tore. I really don't remember a lot of what happened that week. But I finally said, Lord, I can't handle this on my own. And I was over on the west side, and I pulled over at Giovanni's on 104 there. Pulled in their parking lot. It was after hours. Nobody was there. Just me and the Lord. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to tell me. I don't want to leave, but I know I have to go. And He said, Brian, listen, if you don't go, Beach Fork will be okay. And Rubyville will be okay. But if you want the glory to leave you, you stay put. And I said, Lord, I don't care if it hurts. I don't want to leave Mommy and Daddy. Hey, you wouldn't either. Don't laugh at me. I was comfortable. But I wanted the anointing more than I did. I wanted the glory. And it was a heavy load. And to be honest with you, that first service, I just felt like, oh. Didn't feel real good. The load was a little heavy, but then I first came here and I got up the first song we sang. I've got so much to thank Him for. And the first time I walked into this place, I felt like I was always here. And God said, see, I told you. See, I told you. It's the anointing. It's not the fact that you're leaving one place and going to the next. It's the fact that the anointing is with you and you're carrying it there. And folks, I don't know about you, but I'm blessed to be here at Rubyville Community Church. Unselfish. Also, they were uninformed. They didn't have no idea what they was carrying. They didn't have any idea what they was hauling behind them on a cart. They didn't know that it was the visible presence of God. And you know what? Sometimes I don't even think we realize what we're hauling. We say it's the blessed Spirit, the blessed anointing, but I don't think you realize what it is. The fact is, it's not an it. It's a He. The Spirit is the administrator of glory. The Spirit is the breath of the Almighty. The Spirit leads us into holiness. The Spirit sends fire down where we need fire. The Spirit gives us precious promises. The Spirit gives us truth. The Spirit gives us wisdom. The Spirit gives us understanding. The Spirit gives us counsel. The Spirit gives us power. The Spirit gives us knowledge. The Spirit pours the oil of joy on us. And the Spirit dispenses grace. That's just a few of the things that the blessed Holy Spirit does. And I know that Christ had to go away. And He said, but I have to go. But all you got to do is just tarry for just a little while. And then just a little bit tarry there till you be endued with the power of God. And I'm thankful, yes, He had to go, but thank God He sent the blessed Comforter, the blessed Spirit of God. And sometimes you may not even realize what you're hauling behind you, but I'll tell you what it is. It's the blessed anointing. It's the Spirit of God. And as long as you keep that on your cart, bless God, He'll be there with you every step of the way. They were also undeterred. Look what they did, verse 12. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh. These cows walked a straight line. How many of you ever raised cows before? Do they walk a straight line? They did what was against their nature. They walked a straight and narrow path. Sometimes we'll have preachers ask us, what circle are you guys in? I always said, well, I'm ordained this denomination, but I hang out all over the place, you know. But I'm going to change my statement from now on. I'm going to say, I ain't in no circle. Because if you're in a circle, you never get anywhere. But I'm walking a straight line. I'm on the straight and narrow way. When you have the Spirit, you shouldn't run in circles. You always end up where you started. But if you end up on the straight and narrow way, blinders on, focus to Jesus Christ. Focus to where you're supposed to go. That's why so many people fall by the wayside, because they don't have the spiritual blinders up. They get so distracted by the enemy and by the wiles of the devil. But listen tonight, you have to stay on the straight and the narrow way. Don't be deterred from what God wants you to do. Keep focused on Christ. And finally, these cows were unimportant. Verse 13, and they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up the eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Now, speaking on the cow's behalf here, they left everything behind. They did. They left their kids. They left the comforts of the stable. They passed up grass along the way and nice hay, I'm sure. And when they got there, they said, hey, look at those. They didn't say, hey, look at those cows coming. I mean, you figured they'd at least throw them a cow appreciation party or something. Buy some gift cards of Bob Evans or something, you know. But no, what's it say? When they saw the ark, they rejoiced. You know what that tells me, Billy? I ain't important. I ain't important, buddy. And you know what? You ain't either. Fact is, God don't need us, but we sure do need Him. And when we take the responsibility, Roger, of carrying the anointing, people should be able to look at us and say, boy, what a Savior. What a Savior. I'm telling you what, I don't know if cows ever felt this way before, but sometimes you'll study for sermon and you feel the anointing of God coming and you just preach it in your mind. You know, well, this is the place where they're going to run. This is the place where they're going to shout. You know, you feel him. This is a good point. This is a good point here. And then someone comes and gets saved and they get up and testify. I didn't hear one thing the preacher was saying. You mean I studied for 6 months on that sermon and you don't remember a blooming thing that I said? You know why? Because it's not about the preacher. It's about Jesus Christ. And if we stop getting our focus off of us and what we can do, we cannot do anything without the anointing of God. I'd rather for people say, hey, something's going on down there in Rubyville. And I hope they don't say, well, it's called Brian and Cal Rare there. No, I hope they say God's doing something special down there in Rubyville. Why? Because the ark of the Lord is here. The presence of God is here. And you know what? We saw it this morning. And as long as I'm here, it'll always be here. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. They were so important that when they got to the end of their journey, they sacrificed them. These cows were willing to give their life to make sure the anointing was safe. You'll find in verse 18 talking about the stone of Abel is where they brought it back to. And the stone of Abel was like a memorial of the blood sacrifice. And you always find the glory always comes back to where the blood is remembered. They got all the way there. They rejoiced that the ark was back home. And the cows were there to give their life to make sure the anointing was back in its proper place. I'm willing to fight for the anointing of God. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to stand to make sure that the anointing stays here. We're not the police of the world, but it's our responsibility. If anything hinders the worship of this church, it's our responsibility to call that out and make sure it's taken care of. I do not want anything. I don't want to bring a reproach on the name of Jesus. I don't want to bring a reproach on Rubyville. I don't want to bring a reproach on God. So, folks, you know what we need to do? Be willing to lay down our life for the anointing. John, if we keep preaching like this, Cal keeps preaching like this, people won't like it. They don't like it now. And you know what God's doing right now, folks? He's weeding out the men from the boys. We're going to face persecution like we've never faced before. And we're going to have to be willing to fight for what God has given us. Are you willing to lay down your life for the Spirit? Are you willing to lay down your life for the Lord? I am. And it may take my life, but thank God the anointing was back in its rightful place. Today, what is it that you're facing that maybe you feel unqualified for? Maybe you don't have any experience on what you feel God's calling you to do. Maybe tonight you aren't walking the straight and narrow way. Maybe tonight you're worried about yourself instead of what God wants for you. Tonight would be a perfect opportunity for you to come and give it all to Jesus. Make sure you have the anointing more than anything else.